So have you ever had one of those kinds of days where you just sort of wonder, what the blazes is going on anyhow? Well, I had one of those days yesterday, just one thing after another. It was just an intense day. And then I got to the end of the day, and I looked at the readings for this morning, and I said to myself, you got to be kidding me, that I have to try to preach on these texts. But something's come together as I was sort of thinking about my own day yesterday and meditating upon the readings. It struck me that what we have here is a perspective that speaks of divine providence. Now imagine you were in the Stampede Parade, and you're down on 9th Avenue, and there you are with 300,000 people. All you can see is what's directly in front of you and maybe around you, but that's all you're gonna see. But then say you went up to the Calgary Tower, and from the viewpoint, you looked at that same parade. You would have a very different perspective of what's happening. You would see the big picture. And what we need to understand today is the following. We live our lives every day as we are smack dab in the middle of that parade. And it's hard to figure out where we are and to get a sense of orientation. And so we need times in the church's year when we're able to get up to the Calgary Tower and look down with the perspective of God. And that's what we have in our readings today. This is God's perspective on what the blazes is going on in a world like this. In this reading, we are given the picture of two catastrophes and one celebration that is beyond anything we have ever experienced in this world. Both Revelation and the Gospel use a particular kind of biblical language. It's called apocalyptic language. The word apocalypse means to unveil. It's as if we are seeing behind a curtain because the curtain has now been open. And so when you read apocalyptic language in the Bible, it's not the way we speak each and every day. It's a language unlike any other language. And so it can lead us to say, huh? What the blazes is going on? What are they talking about? So in that reading from the book of Revelation, we're in the 18th chapter. We're almost at the end of the last book of the Bible. And here, St. John, who is on the island of Patmos because of his faithfulness to the word of God, is given a vision of the destruction of Rome. But he refers to Rome as Babylon. And there are two things that we are shown. First of all, we are shown the soul of Rome in this poetic language. Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. It has become the dwelling place of demons, a haunt of every foul spirit, a haunt of every foul bird, a haunt of every foul and hateful beast. Do you hear the language? Fallen, haunt, foul, repeated time after time after time. It's like in music, it's like a crescendo. It's getting louder and louder and louder. This represents the soul of Rome. But then, later in the passage, St. John gives us a picture of the outward activity carried out in the Roman Empire. The sound of the harpists and the minstrels, the flautists, the trumpeters will be heard no more, and the artisan of any trade will be found in you no more. And the sound of the millstone will be heard in you no more, and the light of a lamp will shine in you no more, and the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard in you no more, will be heard in you, seen in you no more, no more, no more. This is the stuff of everyday life. This is what goes on in Rome. This is what goes on in Calgary. This is what goes on in every society. But it's not only the exterior activity of any society that God is concerned about, he also sees through to the soul and heart of that society. Jesus was doing the same thing in today's gospel, but here in the early 30s, he's predicting the destruction of the Jerusalem temple that would happen in the year 70 AD. And so he says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. And Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles, until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And he says in today's gospel, look at it again if you have a chance, that this is the fulfillment of scriptural predictions that are replete in the Old Testament that would point to the destruction of Jerusalem. Indeed, one Old Testament passage from the book of Deuteronomy puts it this way: "The Lord will bring a nation against you from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as an eagle flies, a nation whose language you will not understand." So what is all of this about, anyhow? Well, I think it's about this. In a world like this, we have to have the perspective to see that political societies represented by Rome and spiritual societies represented by Jerusalem can become corrupt. And their downfall is something that can only be measured from the perspective of God. It's ironic that just around the time when Jerusalem was being destroyed by the Romans, within 10 or 15 years, St. John on the island of Patmos would have a vision of Rome's destruction. But that destruction wouldn't happen until the early 5th century. We can't make sense of what the blazes is going on in this world if we just see it from the perspective of our limited historical moment. And so what does this mean for us? Well, it means that we have to have in our mind not just these catastrophes, but the amazing promise that comes in Revelation 19. Write this: "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said, "These are the true words of God." In other words, this is the providential perspective. And you and I are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. One of the beautiful things about studying the Bible as regularly as I do is I always find out new things. And what I found out today is the word hallelujah is only used 4 times in the New Testament. The word hallelujah means praise the Lord. Revelation 19 is the only place in the New Testament where the word hallelujah is found. And it's used in relation to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and because Babylon and all earthly kingdoms that are in opposition to God will ultimately be judged. And so we are to be a people who recognize in the midst of a world like this, when you and me have days like my yesterday, we've got the invitation. We've got the invitation not only to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, no. The point is, we're going to be married to the Lamb. That's what it's all about. And so it's so appropriate that the collect that we had for this morning prayed the following: "Stir up the wills of your faithful, we pray, O Lord." That's what apocalyptic language is supposed to do. It's supposed to shake us out of our complacency. It's to stir us up. Why? So that striving more eagerly to bring your divine work to fruitful completion, Revelation 19, the marriage supper of the Lamb, they may receive in greater measure the healing remedies your kindness bestows. I only know my own soul. I know I need these healing remedies. I know that in a world like this, Jonathan Gibson needs the kindness that only Jesus Christ can bestow. So, beloved friends, we're in the midst of the parade. We're walking down 9th Avenue. But doesn't it help to have the perspective from the top of the Calgary Tower so that we can say, yeah, we have a sense of what the blazes is going on in a world and in a church like this?